store. And so if you want to get a copy of that, hopefully we'll have that out here in a little while. So hope that you guys are going to save me a cookie in there. So I'm going to have one later on. But I probably don't need it, but it sounds good. So, all right, so I know it's almost 10:30, so I don't want to kind of get through this, so we're not going to keep you guys here real long. But we just want to get to the last half of this here, and we're going to be talking about leadership life according to Paul. So, you know, Paul obviously has a lot in the New Testament, but we're just going to focus on one chapter, and so that's in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And so here Paul was on trial, and he's recounting his life to King Agrippa. And so we can learn some things about leadership from how Paul lived his life. And again, we're just talking about, you know, leadership is a lifestyle. It's, you know, how we live. And so there are some things that you and I can take away from what Paul tells us from how he lived that we're able to apply to our own leadership journey. So Acts 26 in verse 13, you see Paul lived a transformed life. Okay, so I believe that Paul was able to live the way he was because he was transformed through his encounter with Christ. We see here in verse 13, he's talking, he says, in about noon, your majesty, because he's talking to the king, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in the Aramaic language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. And who are you? I said, Lord. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And we'll just stop there. So there's really no substitute for firsthand revelation. I mean, certainly we all need to learn from other people, and we can all learn from teachers and from books and from videos and conferences and meetings. And I mean, those things are all valuable, but there's no substitute for firsthand revelation. And so we need to be transformed. And so Paul, I believe, was able to live a very strong leadership life because he lived out of the realities that he gained when he was transformed, when he encountered Christ. We know that Paul, at first, he was hunting down Christians, and his mission was to stop the church. But his life took a 180 that day, and he encountered Christ, and he was completely, utterly transformed, and he became the biggest spokesperson for the gospel that he was once opposing. And so we see that's not to say that all people usually go through that kind of a experience. Most people are not changed that in that such of a great way. But, you know, it can and it does happen. But again, for us, we need to have some kind of an inward change that drives our leadership. Something that you and I are transformed, that there's some kind of knowledge, that there's some kind of cause, that there's some kind of purpose that we are so strongly attracted to and that we believe in so much that it changes who we are. And see, Paul was changed when he encountered Christ. And so everything that he lived for, everything that he stood for was changed in that moment. But again, being transformed happens in a moment, but it also happens in a lifetime. Because it's not just a one-time thing. You're transformed. Yes, that's true. But it's for the rest of your life. You are also being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So Paul was transformed in that moment, but he also lived the rest of his life chasing after Christ. Remember, he said, I do not feel that I have reached what I am after. He said, but I press and I go after that thing that I apprehend, that for which I am apprehended of. he never stopped pursuing Christ. So yes, he was changed, but he also continued to live a life chasing after the thing that changed him. So we need to ask ourselves a question. What are you willing to give your life in exchange for? Because, you know, whether you think about it or not, we're all giving our life in exchange for something. And, you know, yes, we go to work and we give our lives in exchange for a paycheck, but I'm talking about more than just that. You're spending your life, you're living your days, you're using the hours of your life that are so precious to give in exchange for something. And so what is that something? Some people will just like, oh, I don't know, I just want to have fun. And so that's nice too, but you know, at the end of your life, are you going to be happy that you just gave your life for that? And so when I'm talking about being transformed, I'm talking about you coming to a place where you're like, you know what? I want to live for something that matters. I want to live for something that's meaningful. I want to live for something that I can be proud of at the end of my life. And so we are transformed when we say, what is it that I'm willing to give my life? You know, what is it that is so valuable, that is so important, that I'm willing to give the most valuable thing I have, my time, my life, in exchange for? And so if you and I are going to live a leadership life, then you have to answer that question. I mean, there are many causes out there. You know, you could save the whales, you could, you know, hug the trees, you could whatever do. And you know, those things are all nice and those things are all good. And you could live for lots of different things. But, you know, what is it that matters most to you? Leaders live in that reality of something that matters most to them, that has transformed the way that they want to live their life. And so Paul, for Paul, what was it? It was Jesus. It was the call that God had on his life. He was so impacted, he was so transformed by that encounter that he changed his whole life, and he lived the rest of his life to preach the gospel and to advance the cause of Christ. And so if you and I are going to lead, then that starts with leading ourselves. Leadership starts with leading yourself. And so we need to be transformed by something. You know, Romans says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, to the outward, but be transformed, that means the inward, by the renewing of your mind. And so see, you are conformed from the outward pressure, but you are transformed by something inside. And so so you could either live one way or the other. You can allow the outward to conform you, or you can let the inward transform you. And see, those are really the only options that you and I have. Every single person on this planet will either live one of two ways. You will either be conformed to this world, or you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's all you get to choose from. This is not Baskin Robbins. There are not lots of choices. You only have chocolate or vanilla. You get one or the other. You're either going to be conformed, transformed, that's it. Okay? And so if you're going to be a leader, then you're going to say, you know, I'm going to live according to what matters most inside of me. You know, by what has transformed me. So leadership starts with leading ourselves. And so you have to live out of a reality that you got firsthand, your firsthand experience. There are people that have a vision, like, you know, Bill Gates. He had a vision to make a computer in every home. There are other people who have a vision to, you know, what's his name? I forget his name. Anyway, his Henry Ford. He had his vision was to have everyone have a car in every driveway, and so he made this Model T car. And so wherever it is. But he was so, he was so, that mattered so much to him that that drove, sorry for the pun, his life. Okay? So he was transformed by this vision, by this cause that was so important to him. And so that's what he lived for. And so we lead, well, when we answer that question and we lead ourselves, and then people begin to notice them, they begin to want to jump on our bandwagon and live for the same cause that we're living for. People who don't live for a cause don't get much attention, don't really draw a following because you're not really living for anything. And again, we're not saying that to lead that you have to have a following, because really I believe that the best measure of leadership isn't about only having a following. Yes, that does, that does matter, but it's about you inspiring other people to lead. So it's not only getting people to follow, it's getting other people to lead. That's really the measure of leadership. So so you're not going to do that if you're not living out of a transformed life, out of something that has transformed you, and now you live in that reality, and then as you live that way, it begins to transform other people and to inspire them to lead as well. So we see that Paul lived a transformed life. And then if we keep going on to verse 19, Paul lived what I call a transcended life. And I know I had all the C's for Daniel. I'm going to have all the T's for Paul. I just like to do it that way. It's just a little game that I play. So just humor me. So, okay. So Paul lived a transcended life. I know that's like kind of like a strange word. But what it means is that Paul lived for something bigger than himself. We see here in verse 19, "And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed the vision from heaven." Or it says in the King James, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." So that means that Paul lived according to a heavenly vision. That's what really drove his life. And so a heavenly vision will move you from just an ordinary life to a higher level, to an extraordinary life. Why? Because you're now living for something bigger than yourself. Life isn't only about you just acquiring things and just doing things and just having the most fun until you die. I mean, that's how the world lives. Just have all the fun you can, because sooner or later you're going to die. That's just their vision for life. And so, you know, while there's nothing wrong with having fun, that's not the sole purpose of life. You know, our life is to live for something that's going to be bigger and beyond us, something that will outlast us, something that was here before you got here, something that will be here after you're gone. Paul lived a transcendent life, something that will transcend ourselves, living for something bigger than yourself. That is what makes life meaningful. People will come to the end of their life and they'll be like, "Is this all there is?" And the answer is no, that's not all there is. But sometimes if you're not careful, you will, waste your life on things that don't matter. And then you get to the end of your life and you can feel the time is getting shorter. And you're like, "Man, I didn't really live for anything that mattered." And so we don't want to be that kind of thing. We want to make sure that we live our life for something bigger than ourselves. I remember reading one time, someone said that to succeed at something insignificant is not really success. I thought, oh, I kind of like that. So, you can succeed at something that doesn't really matter, but is that really what we want to call success? You know, and again, we're not trying to, compete with other people and to act like you were better than someone else, or that we're trying to outdo other people. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is to walk with God in a way that the best version of who we are comes out. Okay? And I know I was talking during the break with someone back here, and so she made a good comment. She was talking about, well, what happens if you try to live with a spirit of excellence, and you're trying to, you know, do the very best you can, but you don't reach your goals. You know, how do you deal with that? Because, you know, that can have a danger of you starting to feel poorly about yourself, because you had these great ambitions, you had these big ideas, and so it didn't happen. And so I think I would answer that by saying is that we have to measure, or we have to define success when we start. And so we don't want to use the world's measurements of how we define success. You know, let's use God's measurements to measure success. And God measures success through obedience and through being faithful. And so, yes, while we all want results, and they are important, they do matter, but we're not only about numbers, we're not only about dollars and cents, we're not only about the outward things. Those things matter. I'm not saying they don't. But at the end of the day, God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to the one who had two and got two, just as much as the one who had five and got five. Right? So he measures success by us doing the best we can with what we had to work with us being obedient, with us being faithful. And so if we keep that, I think, in our heart, I think that will help us to avoid some of those pitfalls that we do when we try to compare ourselves, or maybe not even try to. It just happens naturally. And we need to make sure that we don't let that hinder us. So vision, I believe, if we go to the next one there, is the language of leadership. Vision is the language of leadership. And so, you know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, people perish. And so not saying that you have to have an open vision like Paul had, where he saw Jesus and he went to heaven and he saw things that, you know, couldn't be repeated in the earth and all that. I mean, yeah, that's all great, but that's not typical, okay? That doesn't happen to people every day. And so when we're talking about vision, we're not talking about only that kind of thing. We're talking about what you see and what you believe about your future. Vision is simply what you see and what you believe about your future. And so when we don't have any vision, when we don't have any expectation, when we don't have anything that we see in our future, we lose hope. And so when you lose hope, you feel helpless, because you figure, well, what's the use? Why bother? It doesn't matter. I don't have any opportunity. I don't have any future. So why even try? And so, you know, and so when you don't try, that's when, you know, people perish. They just kind of go wayward because they don't have something to live for, or they feel like they don't have something to live for. So vision gives you something to live for. It's the language of leadership. Leadership, like we said earlier, are dealers in hope. We're talking about the future. We want to change what's ahead. And so leadership is something that will enlarge you. It will sustain you. It will challenge you. It's a meaningful vision, something that will come from heaven and will point your attention toward heaven. Paul lived with a heavenly vision. That's what drove his life. And so so by doing that, he was able to live a transcending life, something that now, thousands of years later, his life is still influencing other people's lives. Why? Because he jumped into something that was bigger than him. It was not only about his life, it was about him playing his part in the bigger picture of serving God's kingdom. And so, that's not to say that, you know, we need to be famous and have your face on a box of Wheaties and everyone knows who you are. I mean, that's nice if it happens, but that's, you know, not what we're after. It's not about you becoming a household name, but it's just about you playing your part in the bigger picture of God's kingdom and God's plan to live for something bigger than yourself. That's what leaders do. They want to serve the higher purpose. So if we keep reading here, we go to the next one. Paul also lived a transparent life. Leaders are transparent. It means that they live with an openness. They are self-disclosing. They are not worried about showing who they really are. People that are murky, people that are sort of mysterious, they don't tend to influence people because people don't know what to make of them. But leaders are open. Leaders are willing to say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm all about. And so they are willing to get close to people. They are willing to let other people get close to them. They are willing. You're not going to have influence over people if you're not willing to rub shoulders with people, right? And so we see here what happened. So Paul had this vision from heaven, and the very next thing he does, he says, I preached to the people right where he found himself, Damascus. And so, you know, all this happened right there and then. And so I think it's important that we see that Paul started right where he was. He didn't wait for something else to happen. He got right to it. He got busy right where he was. And he started preaching, and then he began to teach the Word of God. See, teaching, I believe, is a leadership responsibility. Teaching is a leadership goal, because it's not only about you maybe being having the gift of a teacher, like it says, there's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. There are people that are gifted to stand in the office of a teacher, but we're talking about your life being a resource that will teach others. And so you don't have to stand in a pulpit or to stand in a schoolroom or something to be a teacher. You can just teach through the way that you live to your children, to your grandchildren, your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, whatever it is. And so leaders live an open life. Teachers are leaders, and leaders are teachers. So what I see here is that as soon as Paul got that vision, he began to teach. He began to open his heart and say, hey, here's what I know, here's what I have, and so I'm going to share it with you. He became open to others. And so he was not just hiding away with all this knowledge that he had gained. He opened up and he lived a life that was, visible, transparent. I remember whenever we were at Rhema, there was a guy that I knew who had done window cleaning. And so he had gotten this new job. And so he said, hey, would you like to do this instead? So I said, yeah, sure. So it was just like an easy way to make some extra money. And so I began just to go down out here and there and to do some window cleaning. And it was just always so fun to see this window that was dirty become so clean. And so you could see inside, and you could also see from the inside out, And so you could really see things so much better when that window was clean. And see, that's the way our life is too. People can see into your heart so much better when we approach life with this openness. And also you can see into other people and see into the world when we live with this openness. So that's why I say Paul lived a life that was clear, that was open, that he was willing to teach, that he was willing to bare his heart, that he was willing to let people know what he was all about. And so, in the Old Testament, God told the Jewish people to teach their children at every opportunity. He says, whenever you get up, whenever you walk down the road, whenever you are doing this or that, he says, share the Bible with them. So take every moment and make it a teachable moment. Live a life that's open. John 14 says that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. He will teach us all things. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a leader. He's a guide. And so that's why I'm saying teachers are leaders, leaders are teachers. We are being led by the Holy Spirit. And so he's our teacher. So teaching is a part of leading. Leading involves teaching. And so that's what Paul did. So it doesn't have to be a sermon. Doesn't have to be a lesson on a paper. Doesn't have to be some, you know, fancy thing. It's just that you just approach life with an openness, that you're willing to let people know what you know, that you're willing to share what you've learned of life, that you're willing to share what you've learned of God, that you're willing to open your life and let other people get close to you. That's the way Paul lived. And so that's the way leaders live. You're not going to lead well if you're going to be over here and everyone else is going to be over there. You've got to get close to people. You need to let people get close to you. Teaching is a call to action, which is really what leadership is all about. Leadership is a call to action. And so we do that through teaching. Teaching is expressing who you really are. Okay? If you go to the next one there, we see that Paul lived a tenacious life. I like that word, tenacious. It just sounds fun just to say it. And so, plus it begins with a T, so it kind of fit in there real nice, okay? So Paul lived a tenacious life. And we see here verse 21, he says that some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching, and they tried to kill me. Look at that. So it's not always going to be fun when you try to do the right thing. Not everyone's going to like it, right? Jesus healed someone one day in the temple, and they got mad because it was the Sabbath day. I mean, a guy had a miracle right in church, and somebody didn't like it. So it doesn't matter, you know. You can do the right thing, and somebody somewhere is going to not like it. So you just have to be okay with that. And Paul was tenacious. He would not quit. He would not stop. I know I was ordained back in the 90s under Lester Sumrall. And he was awesome. And I remember toward the end of his life, he taught this one lesson that was just called, I Did Not Quit. And so by then he was in his 80s. And so he was talking about all the people that he had, you know, walked with back in his younger days. And he was talking about all the people that had been preaching when he was preaching. And for one reason or another, they got off, they quit, something else happened, whatever it was. And he said that, you know, he was not so special. The thing that just made him different was that he simply didn't quit. He just simply kept on going when other people found some other reason not to keep on going. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be anything real fancy. It's just a matter of just, I'm just going to keep on going. And so leadership is a passionate pursuit of purpose. Something that you're so passionate about that you are going to pursue it for the rest of your life. And you're not going to let anything or anyone else stand in your way. A passionate pursuit of purpose. Tenacity, that you're not going to quit. Perseverance, endurance, drive. That you're going to either fulfill your mission or you're going to die trying. That's about all there is. Okay? And so there's a lot behind that. So we see here that Paul's like, okay, you know, God gave me this vision and I'm going to do it and I'm out there preaching and I'm teaching. And so, yeah, there are awesome things. There's people getting saved, people getting healed. There's miracles happening. But in the middle of all that, what happened? He also encountered some opposition. Some people came against him. He was in jail. He was beaten. He was falsely accused. People tried to kill him. So not saying that's going to happen to all of us, but when you step out to lead, understand that not everyone's going to enjoy it. You know, it may be petty. They don't like the way you part your hair, or they don't like the clothes you wear, or some other nonsense like that. Or, you know, maybe people just, for whatever reason, they just don't want to follow what you have to say. But you have to have a passionate pursuit of purpose and see the bigger picture, that I'm going to do this no matter what. And so Paul was able to push through all the things that he dealt with, all the trouble, you know, and we can read about it, all the things that he dealt with. I mean, he dealt with a lot of opposition, but he stuck with it, right? And so I remember hearing one guy said, he was a young minister, and he had met this other guy who was a seasoned minister, and he asked him, he said, if you can just give me one nugget for life and ministry, well, what would that be? He said, I'll just tell you one thing. He says, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. And that was all he said. But he said that to him was the best piece of advice he'd ever gotten, is to not get bitter, because sometimes things aren't going to go the way that you want. And so you need to be able to rise above that and get beyond that and to not allow that to hold you back. Get better, don't get bitter, right? Don't get bitter because people don't like it. People talk about you. People betray you. People walk out on you. People say one thing and do something else. Don't get bitter. Paul had lots of people that came against him, but he refused to get bitter. He just stuck with it. Tenacity. Leaders need to be tenacious. They need to live with a mindset that your endurance will be rewarded. Live with a long-range view, that your endurance will be rewarded. Just like it says in the Hebrews 12, that we're looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. He was able to endure the short-term pain. Why? Because he was looking at something ahead. He was looking for the joy that was set before him. He lived with a mindset that his endurance would be rewarded. And so that's what leaders do. We live with a marathon mindset. It's not just a sprint. It's not just I'll try and see what happens. No, this is my life. I'm just going to live my life. I'm just going to go for it. And so, yes, things may not always be easy, but I'm going to live tenaciously. I'm going to live with a passionate pursuit of purpose. So let's go to the last one here. Paul lived a thankful life. And so this one might seem a little odd, because we don't always think about attitude or thanksgiving in line with leadership. But I think it's a very important one. I think it goes unnoticed, and it's not really something that we like think about leaders. But really, gratitude, I think, activates service and leadership. Being thankful, recognizing the help that's been given to you, activates in you the will to give back and to serve. Okay? So that's why it's often called the parent virtue. It means that it gives birth to all the other good virtues. So, you know, you and I are not able to see all the other virtues that we want in our life to take place if we don't start with being thankful. So if we think that it's all about us, and that, you know, we're just here to just tell everybody what to do, and so the world is just here to serve me, then that's not going to make you better. That's not going to make you a person of influence. That's not going to put you in a place where God can use your life effectively. And so, but when we're humble and we realize that I am only who I am because of God's grace, that I only stand in the place where I am because of others who have gone ahead of me and have sowed and have given and have worked and have poured their lives into what, you know, I'm doing, I only have the opportunity to do what I do because of other people's sacrifices. Now that will activate in me the will to carry on and to do something important with my life. So it's the parent virtue, and it will activate a life of service and leadership. So we see here, let's read here in verse 22. It says, but God has protected me right up to this present time so that I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and Gentiles alike. So what I'm saying here is that Paul acknowledged the help of God in his life. He said, yes, people tried to kill me. Yes, I had this, I had that, I had these challenges. But you know what? God was there with me through it all. And he sustained me, and he kept me, and he will watch over me. So all that means is that Paul was thankful. He recognized and he acknowledged that he had help from God and from others. You know, if you read all his letters, he always starts every letter by saying, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, my partners. I thank God for you, my you know, friends in the faith. He was thankful, always thanking God, always thanking people. He always had this thankful spirit about him. He recognized, he said, I am what I am because of God's grace. He said, I was a murderer. I was not a good person, but God changed me. He was thankful for that. And so that, I think, inspired him to live the leadership life. So being thankful, like I said, it might seem like, well, I really hadn't thought about that. But I think it is true, is that Paul was a very good leader because he lived with a thankful heart. Because leadership is founded on being a steward of what God gives us. And also to acknowledge the help that we get from other people helps us stay from being self-absorbed. Sometimes leaders get so wrapped up in their cause or in their things that there's a danger of becoming so self-absorbed that we lose sight of all the other help that we get. And you can't lead if you're not going to get the help from other people. It's not about you just doing it all by yourself. It's about you inspiring good things in other people. That's how you and I get things done. God's way to get things done is to use people. I mean, God is God. He can do whatever he wants. Why doesn't he just snap his fingers and everything happens? I don't know why, but he chooses to use people, right? And so God is the ultimate leader, and he does what he does through people like you and me. And so if you and I are going to lead, it's not about us making it happen all by ourselves. It's about us inspiring action through other people too, right? And so we do that when we live with a heart that's thankful. And that is not negative. And so I just want to end here with just saying that leadership is about being reflective. It's about being appreciative. It's about being engaged. It's not about being selfish. It's not about being detached. It's not about being insecure. It's about realizing that God has called you to express his leadership in this world. It's about you realizing that you can make a difference. And so that's all that we're trying to say, is that leadership is about you living your life in a way that you can and you will make a difference. So I want to leave you with a question here. And yeah, it's that leadership is a choice. And so I'm going to ask you, will you lead? Okay, not can you lead, not should you lead, but will you lead? Okay, because you know, I believe that God has said that I have given you the ability, and now the choice is yours. Will you choose to live the leadership life? Or will you just go your own way and do your own thing? Jesus said to us, he says, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you, and I have ordained you that you would go and bear fruit. So he chose us, but now our choice is to say, yes, I will follow. I will do what you want me to do. You know, you will not find anywhere in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, where he said, accept me. He always says, follow me. He didn't come for acceptance. He came for people to follow. And so we need to decide, will you lead? Will you follow his leadership? Will you live your life in a way that will inspire others to follow the one that you're following? Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Will you lead? Psalm 110, verse 3 says that your people are willing in the day of your power. It says, God, your people are willing in the day of your power. So that's my question. Are you willing? Are you willing to lead? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing? Maybe people say, well, I don't feel adequate. I don't have the skills. I don't have the ability. I'm not really a leader. I'm not educated. I don't have the gifts. I can't do this. I can't. No, 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 no. We're not saying, can you lead? We're not saying, should you lead? We're saying, will you lead? Will you be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do that. And just trust that he can take your life and do something very good with it. Amen? Will you lead? God's people need to be willing in the day of his power. You know, we have a thing at home. We have Netflix, you know. And so my wife likes to go in there and put movies in the queue. And, yeah, they're usually pretty good. And she likes to watch these BBC movies where they're sipping tea and holding hands. And so that's all nice and good. But, you know, once in a while, I want to watch a war movie, you know. I want to see something get blown up, okay? I want to see someone be a hero and take that hill, you know? And so I like to watch the war movie every now and then. And so there's one that I like a lot, Saving Private Ryan. I'm sure we've all seen it. That's a very, you know, well-known movie. And so there's this one scene in the movie that I think is really important. Matt Damon is, you know, being saved because he's the only one left from his family. And so they're out to get him home so that his family doesn't lose all their sons in the war. So Tom Hanks is on the bridge, and he gets shot, and he's dying. And he pulls Matt Damon to him, and he says something in his ear. And he says what? He says, earn this. Which means what? Go home and live your life in a way that's worthy of the sacrifice that was made for you to get there. And see, that's what I feel is what we're saying here. Live your life worthy of the sacrifice that was made for you. Jesus paid such a price. God went to such lengths to give us the opportunity to not only enter heaven and to be in his family, but to lead and to express who he is and to do his will and to serve his purpose. And so, no, we can't earn it, like he said in the movie. We're not going to earn God's favor, no. But the point is, let's choose to lead. Let's choose to live a life worthy of what's been given to us. Let's live in light of the sacrifice that was made for us. He said, earn this, or go home and live a good life. Live a life that's right because we gave our life for you to have one. And so God's saying to us, will you lead? Remember, he says, the harvest is great, but the labor few. The people that are willing to get into the harvest fields, we could always use some more help, right? God's like, will you lead? Will you join my army? Will you be part of what I'm doing? Will you be willing to let me use your life? And so that's my question, just for you to take home and to meditate on, to think on, to just seek God. Will you lead? Will you say, Lord, how could you use my life? It doesn't mean that you're going to be some big shot and be in charge of all kinds of things, but just, Lord, how do you want to use my life? How can I be a leader for you? How do you want to use my life? And there could be so many things, so many possibilities, but it all starts with what? With us being willing. Being willing in the day of his power, just like it says in Psalm 110, verse 3. Will you lead? If you're willing, there's no end to what God can do with your life. Amen? So be willing to live the leadership life and see where that takes you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we look back on our lives and we just know, Lord God, that there's so many things, Lord God, that you've done for us through your son Jesus and also through the actions of others. Others that have influenced us, others who have prayed for us, who have given to us, who have sacrificed for us, who have loved us and just meant us and been there for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for all the goodness that you poured over our lives. Father, we trust that there's still many, many good things ahead. Lord, we are thankful for what's done, but Lord, we look forward to what's yet to come. And so, Father, I pray that as we end our time here and as we go our own separate ways, that, Lord, you will continue to speak to us, that you will continue to draw us to yourself, that you would open up our hearts to see what you want to do with our lives, that you would help us to say, yes, I'm willing. Count me in. Lord, I want to be part of what you're doing in this generation. I want to be part of what you're doing in my day and time. Lord, use my life as you see fit. And so, Father, right here, right now, we just want to commit ourselves to you. We just want to yield our lives to you. And Father, we just want to say, Lord, we're willing. We are willing to do what you say. Take our lives and use us. Maybe we won't be a Daniel. Maybe we won't be a Paul. Maybe we won't write the scriptures. Maybe we won't be known by people all over the world. But Lord, we're willing to serve you and to follow you the way that you want. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to embrace that. Help us to step up and do our part for your purposes and for your glory. We thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.